Blog Talk Radio.
Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles. We are continuing on this morning in discipleship and the principles of the doctrines of Christ or Mashiach, because when we were reading in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we were told to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, to leave it, but to leave it and go on to perfection. And so as I was going back and rereading, you know, this information, taking it before the Most High, he showed me that what is really intended here and what is meant in those scriptures is that these doctrines of Messiah, they are the what I want to milk of the word. And it's what every saint should know foundationally. This is what we should be, you know, using as a foundation for our life and for our walk with him. And then we go on to perfect these doctrines within our own lives by doing them, okay, and perfecting how we execute them, how we maintain them, how we study and then teach them in all aspects. We are to go on to perfection in this. And so these are the five doctrines that, you know, that basically Messiah taught, and they are repentance from dead works. Messiah taught, you know, to repent, just as John the Baptist did, to repent from dead works, to have faith toward Elohim as a doctrine, understanding that, you know, without faith it is impossible to please him, and having true faith in that we believe him because of who he is. You know, we just have all faith in him and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Okay. And then the doctrines of baptism, because the baptism is how you actually get into the kingdom, how you actually get your citizenship. Must be baptized of the water, must be baptized of the Spirit of the Most High. Those doctrines, in the laying on of hands, for the receiving of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, for receiving healing. These are, it's all through the scriptures, Old and New Testament. And actually that this actual aspect of it, I was not totally 100% aware of its total impact, but it is very impactful. And when I received the Holy Spirit, it was because somebody laid hands on me. Okay. And so, you know, whenever I meet all of you, I want to pray with you and lay hands on you for this purpose. Okay. And then the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead, because this was a controversy between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. One group believed in the resurrection from the dead, and one group didn't. And Messiah came and set the record straight that there is resurrection from the dead. And so that doctrine and believing in that, that is our hope, that we are going to live. We're, you know, if he doesn't return before we die, we're going to die, and that he's going to resurrect us again to life again. At some point in the future, and that he has the ability, no matter how long we've been dead, whether it's one day or 1 million years, he is able to bring us back into life. And then the eternal judgment, because the Messiah spoke in most of the scripture. There's more scripture on eternal judgment than any of these other doctrines. And so the eternal judgment, whether you're going to go to paradise eternally or you're going to go to the lake of fire eternally, those doctrines. And so, you know, we're going to cover all those. We got sort of a piece of the way through. We got through repentance from dead works last night, that we are, you know, the dead works are any works that bring us death. And it's not just that the work is not successful. We might say, oh, that was a dead venture. But it's, you know, the working of sin brings death. And so those, anything that we do that the Most I would consider sin, he says the judgment is death. And they bring death. So, you know, we want to repent from those. So we're going to continue in this on this morning. And we will try to finish it up today. As I said, when I actually looked into this, you know, that one verse, there was so much there because it's covering, you know, each doctrine. You know, I could simply have said, you know, that going to these doctrines and then expect that you would know those doctrines. But the truth of the matter is, I don't like to leave anything to chance, especially when it comes to someone's salvation. I would rather you to be have more information than not enough. And so that when you make decisions, you're making decisions off of, you know, informative decisions. You're not making them off of, you know, the cuff. You're not making them with bad information, but you're making them with solid information. And it's always better to have more information. Most of the time, it's better to have more information than not enough. And the more we know, then we know the more we're accountable for. We can't say, well, I didn't know. I wasn't, nobody taught me, or they taught me this way. But the Most High said, you know, we are to study to show ourselves approved, and that we are to seek this with our all. So we're to be pouring everything that we are into our salvation, pouring everything that we are into becoming like Him, being His disciple. That is the end goal. You know, and if you are goal-oriented and you know, you need goals to reach, becoming messianic-like or Christ-like should be the goal for your entire life, to achieve that and to maintain it. Because it says this is what the Father's looking for. And He's not telling us that, you know, He's not really taking the excuse that we're human. He says, I understand that you're human. Yet and still, I've also given you a way and given you a way that you can achieve this, but you have to want it. You have to really want it with your whole heart. So it's not something that you can take on and say, oh, you know, I'll give it a little bit of effort here, a little bit of effort there, and that should be sufficient. No, he's telling us over and over and over again. That's why we read those verses at the beginning of this lesson. Every time we start a new part to discipleship, of what you have to have, you know, you have to have, you have to want it with your whole heart. You have to have it be the most valuable thing in your life. Can't anything be more valuable to you? You can't treasure anything more. Love anyone more than you love the Most High. So you can't let, you know, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your great niece, nobody be more important to you than the Most High. And this is, you know, he tells us what's required and what it's going to take. And when you have all the information, then you're supposed to sit down and contemplate and measure the cost. What is this going to take for me to do this? And am I willing to do it? Because then that's going to determine, you know, what you do. You know, so anything, I know for me, but I think this applies to most people. I can't say it applies to everyone. There's no absolutes in anything. But I think most people, when they have decided on something that they want, then they put all their energy into doing that, and whatever that takes. And when it's something that you love, then it's not like work, because you love doing it. So it's like when you know, my kids were growing up, I told them, you know, I wanted them to have their own businesses, but I wanted them to choose something that they love to do. I said, because if you love doing it, I said, I love doing computers, loved everything about it. So when I spent hours upon hours upon hours, you know, studying and researching to become the subject matter expert, it wasn't like work, because I loved doing it. And so I could, when maybe somebody was looking at TV, I was reading a technical article. Or when, you know, rather than reading some mystery novel, you know, I would be reading some book on some theory, because it I just loved doing it. And there was only one thing, there was only one other thing that I loved more than that, as far as, you know, work-wise, was the scriptures, the word of the Most High. And so it's not like work to me. Reading the scriptures, researching in the scriptures, studying the word of the Most High, because I love the word of the Most High. I love the Most High. I learned to love him through his word. I learned to, you know, just how magnificent and how wonderful and how terrible he is through his word. And so, you know, with anything that we do, what Messiah is telling us, you know, as we study this out, is that you have to want it with your whole heart. It has to be priority for you in order for you to be successful at this. And that is, you know, one of the things that I've learned recently. If you really want to be successful at this, the formula is you got to want it with your whole heart. You can't value anything in your life more than you value this, than you value the Most High, if you want to be successful. Nobody can come before him, not even your husband or your wife, can come before the Most High. And not even yourself, truth be told, he says, not even your own self can come before him. So he's giving you the formula, and then you have to, each individual has to decide, you know, if they really want this. Because a lot of people, I'm gonna say it this way, because after understanding this, I have a clearer picture of that. Most people are going through the motions, okay, and they want to be good, quote unquote, Christians, but they are not doing what the Most High says is required to be done. That's why, you know, the more that I understand, the more I understand when he says, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. The more I understand that the road to heaven is long and narrow, and the short and the road to hell or the lake of fire is short and wide. It's a matter of mentality and what you want. How bad do you want this? How bad do you want the Most High? How bad do you want what he's offering? That's really what it comes down to. And so, you know, he's not taking, for lack of a better word, don't get offended, he's not taking half-ass. He's not taking you giving, you know, a piece of yourself. He says, I want all of you, 100%. You have to want me that much. So we're going to be reading in this. And he tells us these are the doctrines that we are to start with and we're to perfect. And we're to go on to perfection from these. Because if we do these things, if we have an understanding and do them, then we will be successful. We will be what it is, who it is that he's looking for. And when he sees our heart, then he chooses us. So we want to go on to perfection in this. All right. Let us do our statement of faith. Let us do our statement of faith. On this morning. And I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're listening in your car or you're listening, you know, on the internet at home, whether you're on your phone, if you're driving, please keep your eyes on the road. I know I've, you know, had people call and say, hey, yeah, I'm driving, and they're still driving. I'm like, yeah, put the phone down and just talk, put it on, you know, whatever, or call back in later, because we want everybody to be safe. But, you know, the real thing here is we truly want our salvation, and we want it assured. It says you can know that you're saved, okay, and you can know that His word is truth. And so if we do what it is that He's asking us to do, and if we do it the way that He's asking us to do it, your salvation is assured to you. Because when we understand it, then we understand that we have to be humble. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. It doesn't make us, as far as the Most High is concerned, you're being that faithful servant, and you're doing the minimum standards, meeting His minimum standards. Now, the more we grow in this and the more we learn to love each other and the more we learn to love our fellow man and to love our enemies, then we grow higher and higher in perfection in this thing. But, you know, our salvation is number one. It just does not matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing else in this world matters. Don't matter how much money you have. Don't matter how big a house you get. Don't matter how many cars you have. Don't matter how many wives or husbands or children or properties or anything. Nothing, none of that stuff matters except for right now if you are headed toward the lake. Because at the end of the day, is after you have run the race, you end up in the lake. What did all this matter? And we surely don't want to be coming and going to, you know, prayer meetings and Bible studies and church services and, you know, all these other things that people do in association with their walk, feeding the hungry and, you know, doing those things, and we end up in the lake. So making sure that of our salvation first, and walking the walk, learning the walk and walking the walk and having the proper, mentality for it. You know, most jobs will tell you when it comes to customer service, it's really your attitude and your mentality as to how well do you want to help this person. And that good customer service, how far are you willing to bend over backwards to see that they get what they need to solve their problem? And then the more knowledgeable you are, the more that you can help. Well, the Most High is saying the same thing in this word. Okay, so we have to be willing to give our all to each other, because we're each other's customer. He says, I look out for your welfare, you look out for mine. We're each other's customer. We have a need from each other at different times. Sometimes I'm the supplier and you are the client. Sometimes I am the client and you are the supplier. But we are each other's customers. And so we are to look out, according to the word, for each other's well-being, each other's wealth, each other's everything in the spirit of love. And so, you know, coming to this understanding and, this late in life, because as I said, I wish I had these understandings years ago. And, you know, and I thought I knew something. But as we live and learn, you know, these things have to be transmitted to the next generation. And it has to be put in a way that it can be transmitted to the next generation. Should we not be the last ones? That is always, that is always the goal and the plan. How well do you transmit what the Most High teaches you? That's why He chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were able to transmit to their children what the Most High wanted done. And they were able to transmit that, you know, what attitude they had to have, how much they had to believe in Him, how much faith they had to have, that, you know, everything was in His hands, and being able to transmit that to their children. That's why they were chosen. And so we are supposed to be able to transmit that same message to our children, but then even on a larger scale, because a lot of people just are not taught. So let us do the necessary. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us go before the Most High. Let us do our statement of faith on this morning. As I said, we are going to continue in these doctrines of Messiah, and that, you know, we're supposed to leave them, not drop them, and say I'm leaving them going on to perfection, meaning that we can't stay there. We can't stay there all the time needing to be saved. We can't stay there all the time needing to learn faith in Elohim. We can't stay in that place and all the time never understanding the doctrines of baptism, you know, or that what the laying on of hands does. We can't stay in the beginning. We can't stay at the milk level. And so this is what this verse is saying, what it's talking about. We're to go on to perfection, and this all comes from our attitude, our willingness and our attitude toward the Most High, how we think about him, that we can't desire anything or anyone more. That's the attitude. That's the only way we're going to be successful at this. Other than that, as I said, we're going through the motions. And so the more he shows me this, as I said, the more, you know, resolved I am, I will serve him with my whole life. I will serve him with everything. You know, anything that I've acquired, it is for the kingdom's sake. Because he's saying, give me your all, and I will give you eternity in paradise. And if you are willing to die for me, knowing that I'm able to raise you back up and that I'm going to raise everybody back up, if you really believe that, then you know that 50 or 60 or 70 years, 80, 100, 120 years, whatever lifespan you have on this planet, is nothing compared to infinity. It's nothing compared to infinity. How do you weigh those two? How do you weigh a dollar against $26 trillion? There's no comparison. Oh, no, I'll take the dollar. And that's what most people are saying. No, I'll take the dollar because the $26 trillion is just not believable. But he says, you have to believe me. You have to have faith and believe me. Okay. And so this is really what this is all about. So ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east and let's do our statement of faith. And we will jump back into this precept from last night. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 20 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim, our Redeemer and our Savior, a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. We just thank you, Father, and glorify you. We lift you up, we magnify thee, we extol thee, Father. Hallelujah. You are the great I am. You are the only wise and true potentate. And there is none like you, O Father. There is none that are eternal without beginning of days, without father or mother. Hallelujah. But you, you created all things. And by you, all things consist, Father. And everything was created for your pleasure. And Father, we just want to be pleasing to you. Teach us, hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for allowing us to come before you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, Father. Glory to you. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000. Praises to you, O Father. Hallelujah. For you are truly worthy. And that is just not enough. Hallelujah. Not enough. Not enough. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor and praise on this morning. And we honor you this morning in your day that you say that you have set aside, that we should honor you and remember that you are the Creator. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to, on this morning, we are going to actually just read from three places. Let us go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to get verses 1 through 6. Talking about discipleship, and these verses are just paramount, of the utmost importance to our walk. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, the book of Proverbs chapter 8. And I'm doing a short version of this on this morning because I still want to review, what discipleship is all about as we go back into this precept for the recorded version and for those people who download and that they may have it because this is critical to our walk. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. This is who the Most High loves. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me. In Exodus, he told us that those who keep his commandments, those that love him and keep his commandments. Here he says, I love them that love me. And then John chapter 14, verse 15 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Messiah didn't change anything. He reiterated what is in Torah. And the word of the Most High does not change. He does not change. The only difference in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and the New Testament and the New Covenant is the Most High modified some laws, and he got rid of animal sacrifice. Everything else is very few of everything else changed. It's just a slight modification to a few commandments. And so when people think that, you know, the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Old Testament are done away with, they are not. He has always wanted the statutes, laws, and commandments to be in the people's hearts and in their minds, that they would do them. He didn't change that in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. Messiah didn't come to bail us out of sin, which was the breaking of the commandments, the transgression of the commandments, only for us to say, oh, those don't apply to us. Really? Then why would he even have to come? You know what? I'm doing away with that stuff, so it didn't even never matter. Just do this. It's not what he said. He said, I came to pay the price, to bail you out, get you out of trouble, so that you would obey the commandments. Let us go to, and I'm going to forego, well, let me do this, got to do the necessary here. Won't play a worship song this morning. Maybe I'll play one at the end. But we got to sound the shofar because we are commanded to do it. Definition of a disciple, because many of us, you know, whether we are on the job, whether we are really, for most of us, it would be the job that we would develop disciples. And this was Messiah's job, and he wanted disciples, those that he would train in his craft, salvation, the ruling of the world, the redemption of mankind. That is his business. That's daddy's business. And we got to understand that if we call Elohim our daddy, our father, it becomes our business that we are to become his disciples. So we're to become like him. When you have a company and you're trying to do this, then you want to train your employees to have, if you're successful, to have your mentality toward the job, to have your knowledge, skill, you know, your level of knowledge toward the job, if not more, and your skill set and your dedication. As I said, when you do something that you love, it's not like work because you love doing it. And so you want to train other people to be the same way. And this is what the scriptures are talking about in reference to discipleship to Messiah. And so I want us to get this down on the inside of us so that we understand that if you're saying you want to be in his kingdom, and if you're saying that you want to belong to him, then this is the requirement, and you can't fall short. When I see by you can't fall short, the Most High doesn't have to take second best. He doesn't have to take those who aren't willing to give him what he wants. So we're going to re-go over this every lesson because I wanted us to get it down inside of us that it you know, if we're not doing it, that it bothers us that we're not doing it. We're convicted. Okay, because this is, you know, it's your salvation, it's your eternity that is at hand, that is at risk. Okay, and, you know, I know what we've been taught, I know what I was taught, and I know what the Most High is showing me. A disciple has been shown to be someone who follows the teachings, life, and aim of another until the person becomes like the master, like the teacher. Discipleship in Christianity is a sense, in sense, is the process of making someone become like Christ, to become like him. The disciple of Christ is to become like Christ in everything, in every way. This is what he says. This is what he wants. Okay, and so let's look at the mentality that he says that we have to have for this, because this is a matter of mentality. It's a matter of conviction. It's a matter of understanding what it's going to take to be what he wants us to be, what he says is acceptable to him. You know, if you look at it like being an employee, and if you're the boss and you're trying to train somebody to be like you, you have a standard. And you know people aren't going to get it right away, not everything, but after you have trained them, you expect them to improve and then to perfect what it is, whatever that area is. Okay, it's the same thing here. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and I promise not to dwell on this in this area, but we do need to review this every time to get this down within us, so that we understand this is what is required, okay? Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. You got to want to hear this. You got to be hungry for it. You got to be thirsty for it. You got to want to eat it and drink it and consume it and let it become part of you. That's what he means by he who has ears. Everybody's got ears, but you got to want to hear. Okay. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Hear this. Why did Messiah speak to the masses in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, the masses, it is not given. This is not for everybody. This is for he that has an ear to hear, he that really wants it. Okay? It's not given to them to hear this. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. A lot of people don't understand this gospel. A lot of people don't understand what the job requires. Okay? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, we're reading about a prophecy about Israel, but Israel is a microcosm of the world. The things that Israel went through and the things that they showed, the way that they fail and how they fail, really is a microcosm of the world. They're not the only stiff-necked and hard-headed people in the world. We weren't, our forefathers, let me put it that way. We're not the only stiff-necked and hard-headed people in the world. Because everybody started off from Noah's sons. And Noah knew the Most High and walked perfect in his generation. They knew. They chose to go other ways. They chose to worship other beings, other things. So it's not that, you know, it's just the nation of Israel. The reason that the nation of Israel is pointed out reason our forefathers were pointed out, because the Most High chose us. I'm choosing you as a people to show you my ways, to show you that I exist, and then to show you what it takes to serve me. And the ones he chose failed. Okay. That's the reason that we hear this way. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. If you can hear this, and if you can see it, then you can understand it, and then the Most High is able to heal you spiritually as his child. This is what I'm looking for. All have sinned and fallen short. All are broken. He says, but I'm able to mend you and make you my child. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not born his child. We read that in the scriptures. We're not going to read it today, but we know that Messiah came that we might become the sons of Elohim, the sons of God. That means that if we have to become, we were not. So we have to understand these things and just be real. You got to do what Messiah said, what the Most High is saying. You got to do it. He says, so I speak in parables because it is not given to the masses to understand. It's only given to those who want to hear, really want to hear, really want to know, and want to do. He says, now, after you hear and you know, then we're going to read what else is required. Because he gives us what he's looking for, and we have to understand this. Okay, for this people's heart is wax gross. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. This is what the angels and even the prophets wanted to know. The Most High says, I'm going to reveal that in Messiah. Another prophet will I send to you. That's what he told Moses. Tell the people, I'm going to send another prophet after your likeness that's going to bring them a reiteration of the law and what the true intent of the law is. Him shall you hear. And him shall you follow. So we got to look at these doctrines of Messiah and what he's actually saying. He says a lot of things that the churches never tell you. I mean, I've been in church most of my life. In the Christian churches, different faiths, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, searching. And the Most High says, I will train you up in the way you ought to go. So here I am. So this is not meant for everyone. It wasn't meant for everyone in Messiah's day. It's not meant for everyone today. It's not meant for everybody to understand it. And we got to know that. I can teach to I am darker black than I am. Or I can teach to I'm white. That would be a great contrast. And still some people would never believe or never be able to hear or understand what I'm saying to them. Because the Most High has to give it to them. It was not given to them. It's not given to them by Brother Miles. It's not given to them by the Most High to understand. So if you can understand it and do it, truly blessed are you. Because everybody won't be able to hear this. It's not given to them to understand it. Know this. Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's got to be, this has to be your mentality. It's not given to everybody to understand, so let's see how much of this that you can pick up and understand and hold, grab a hold to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else will be added to you. It will be given to you. See, we come at this life and we're taught to, hey, seek these things. And it's not the kingdom of the Most High first. For the vast majority of us, it's not the kingdom of the Most High first. It's seek the things of the world first. Seek your education. Seek your occupation. Seek what kind of money you're gonna make. Seek what kind of house you want. Seek what kind of car you want. Seek what kind of mate you want. The Most High says, if you want this, you got to seek the kingdom first. It has to be the most important thing in your life. If you want to be my disciple, you got to seek me first. Not the world. Not the things that the world places value on. Seek the things that I place value on first. Then all these other things, the riches, the cars, you know, because he doesn't say you have to be poor. He doesn't say you have to be broke. He says, but those can't be the first things in your life. They just cannot. And when we have made them a priority, it means that we are counting for them for our security. He said, you can work your whole life and never get to enjoy any of that you work for. You can buy all the houses you want to, and somebody else end up living in them. He says, if I take your life, before you ever get to enjoy anything, you work for nothing. Because you never got to enjoy the fruits of your labor. If you work to give it to your children, I can cause something to happen, and they don't even enjoy it. They don't get to enjoy it because the priority was wrong. But he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, you want to be Christ-like, then you got to seek the kingdom first. This must be your mentality. It's like when I went to Amazon. I went to Amazon because I wanted to go to Amazon. I wanted the challenge of Amazon. I wanted to work for a big company again, like when I was in the military and worked for a big company, the military. You got to want it. He said, you got to want this first, the kingdom, to be my disciple. Let's move on. So wanting it, the kingdom first, has to be in you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Now this is how much you must value. You might got to want it first. This is the value that you have to put on the kingdom. Okay? And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You found a treasure. Nobody knows it's there. You don't own the field, and you can't get the treasure out of the field. Somebody might see you taking the treasure out of it. Hey, where are you going with that? That's my land. You found that on my land. It belongs to me. He said, so you found it. You go and bury it and hide it again. And then you go find out who owns the land, and you go buy the land, and it costs you your everything, everything you own. And you go buy the land to get that treasure. Because you know that treasure, what's in that treasure is more valuable than everything that you have. This is the mentality that you have to have about the kingdom. It is more valuable than anything on this planet. If you acquire all the wealth on this planet, if you acquired all the land on this planet and you still end up in a lake, all that don't do you no good if you don't get into the kingdom. So he says you have to value the kingdom that high. I'm willing to sell everything I have. I'm willing to give up everything that I have acquired to get the kingdom. I pray we can hear this, because he's telling us what's required, what our mentality has to be. Can't come half-stepping. Can't come doing what's right in your own eyes. Especially when somebody has told you, this is what I require. Again, if you've ever had your own company, then you know that you have a standard that you set for your employees, and it's usually the same standard you have for yourself. And if they don't give you that, then you're not happy with them. You can say, hey, you know, if you see them trying, then, you know, you can give them that much credit. And you say, hey, you know, I know they're trying, and they'll get there. But you don't give them forever to get there either. And so we have to understand that this is what he's telling us. You want to belong to me? This is my standard. This is what's required to qualify. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom is that pearl. You got to be willing to give your all. This is what the Most High wants. This is what he wants. This is what he says qualifies. You got to be willing to give your all. You got to be willing, everything that I've obtained. You know what? I was in the world, and I was of the world, and I was going about trying to, you know, obtain all these things. Yet I lack the kingdom of the Most High. And this is just about everybody. And it says, when you come to the truth, and if you're able to hear this word, if you're able to really hear it, then you got to be willing to give up everything that you acquired to get the kingdom. Okay? It's got to be that valuable to you, that it's worth everything you have. And probably more, because you have to know that everything you have is not worth the kingdom. It is not of the same value. It don't equal. So you know, really, what it really is, the mentality is, you're feeling like you got to know, not feeling like, but you got to know that you're getting a greater than you got. It's more valuable, no matter what you got. You got to know that the kingdom is more valuable than that. And then you got to be willing to give it up, to get it. I'll sell everything I have to get that pearl. So you got to ask yourself, what am I not willing to give up to get into the kingdom? Because that's going to be what makes you fall short. That's going to be what makes you not become his disciple. Because we're going to read this, and we have to have this proper mentality. This is the mentality that he's looking for. Got to want the kingdom first. Got to seek it first. Got to value it with everything, the most valuable thing in your life. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, verse 2. This is the foundation. This is, you know, we want this to be drummed into us, every discipleship lesson, so that we have this on automatic. This is what's required. I might get tired of hearing it. Oh, well. If you're tired of hearing, you know, it's like when I was at Amazon, they have their leadership principles. And you had to memorize these leadership principles, and then you had to try to achieve them as a standard. And in your conversation, you talk these leadership principles. In every problem that you solve, you talk these leadership principles. It's the standard by which Amazon judged you based on your performance and everything else. So you never could get tired of listening to and hearing the leadership principles, or else you didn't want to be there. It's the same way with this. If you're tired of hearing the leadership principles, the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, what he requires, then you really don't want it. Because this needs to be drummed into each one of us. That we know it, that we know that we know it, that we know it, that we know it, that we know that we know that we know. So my job is to get it into you. My job is to make sure that you know. Psalms 119, verses 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart, not a piece of your heart. You got to be willing to give up your all. You got to give your whole heart to this thing. It has to be the main focus. The Most High, his kingdom, this work, for this life. This is your chance. And so if you want to qualify, you want to get on the long and narrow, this is what he wants. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. The mentality that you have to have. Drop down to verse 34. Psalms 119 and 34. Give me understanding. Remember he said it's not given to everybody. To hear. To see. To understand. Give me understanding. You're asking for this. And I shall keep thy law. Let me know why I have to do this. Put it to me in a way that is going to cement in my heart and in my spirit and in my mind that I will keep this and I will do it. And I shall observe it with my whole heart. Not when it's convenient, not when it best suits me, not to appear pious and holy in front of people. It's just the way I'm going to be because I understand what's at risk. I understand what the reward is. I understand what the goal is. I understand what failure means. If failure means the lake of fire, and you don't want to go to the lake of fire, then you better be doing this thing with your whole heart. It better be the most valuable thing in your life. It better be what you're seeking first. These are his principles. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them, this is the new covenant, and I will give them a heart to know me, a heart to know me. To know the Most High, you got to take the time to get to know him. You got to take the time to get to know what pleases him. It's like being in a relationship and then the only thing you want to do is stay in bed, but you don't really want to know anything about the person. Don't want to put in the time. Don't care. To know the Most High, you got to read of him. You got to pray. You got to ask him to show you, to prove to you. He says, I'll prove it to you if you really want to know. Ask me. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah. And they shall be my people. This is who he wants, those that know him and obey him and keep his commandments. And I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart, not a piece of their heart. He don't say this stuff one time. He's telling us this is what's required. I can't be an afterthought. I can't be your second priority. I can't be your third priority. I have to be number one. Let's go to Luke, and then we'll get into this precept. Luke chapter 14. These are the principles and foundations for discipleship. This is the mentality that we got to come with. Because many people say, oh, yeah, I love the Most High. But do they really? Are they loving him based upon what they have defined as love? Or are they loving him based upon what he says? I love them that love me. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's spelled out for us. This is the mentality that you have to have. Okay, so now let's read down here in Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 26. A couple of precepts and foundational verses in here that each of us has to have within us. We have to. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's straightforward. If you love anybody more than you love me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. Straight up. You can't say it any simpler than that. This is what's required. You cannot love anyone more than you love him. You cannot be his disciple. Not even your own self. And whosoever does not bear his cross, that means whatever it takes, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to do what it's going to take to do to be his disciple, you cannot be his disciple. He said, I want you all. I want your whole heart. And if you can't do that, I don't want you. Can we hear him and understand? Because the world is teaching something completely different. But I'm just reading the scriptures to you and hoping that you can see it and hear it and understand, that you receive it. Verse 28, for which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth down not first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Least happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You're going to start something that you're not able to finish. You're not going to finish the race. You didn't even look to see what was required. It's like playing a game and don't learn the rules and then wonder why you lose. You don't know what you're doing. What are you doing with that football on the basketball court? Wrong game. Why are you taking the basketball and running down the court and not dribbling? Don't know what's required. Then you learn, oh, these are the rules, and this is what it takes to become a professional football player or a professional basketball player or whatever it is, and you go on to try to perfect your craft, but you got to consider, then you got to say, oh, man, I'm going to have to practice 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day. I'm going to have to give my all to this thing because I want to be the best. And when you go and look at those athletes who are considered the best, That's the time they put in. 8, 10, 12 hours a day just shooting, dribbling, running. And when you do it on any other job, you got to be willing to put in the time to be the best. You got to consider the cost. The Most High has already told you what the cost is. I want your all. You're going to have to be willing to give me your all, and can't nobody and nothing else be more important than me and this. Most people can't hear that. Most people won't hear that. Because most people love this life. They love this world. It's more important to them than the Most High. It's more important to them than the Creator. But they say, oh, yeah, but I know him. He says, indeed, you deny me. I told you what I want. Can you hear it and understand it and do it? Will you consider the cost? It's going to take me giving up all. Consider the cost. This is what he told us already. I want your whole heart. It's got to be so valuable to you that you're willing to sell everything for the kingdom's sake. Can we hear him? Can we understand it? And if we can understand it, will we do it? Because he's going to say, hey, you didn't consider the cost. You're going to get up here, and I'm going to look at you shaking my head like you didn't finish. And because you didn't finish, guess what? Because you wasn't willing to give me your all, you didn't consider the cost, caused you to fail, and failure is death. It's not life, it's death. It's the lake of fire. It means that we have become a reject. Everybody can't hear this. Everybody won't understand it because we want easy. We want microwave. We want it quick. We don't want to have to put in no effort. But we want the reward. And, you know, the more you read this thing and the more you understand, the Most High is not a fool. And he don't have to settle for second best. He don't have to settle for what he doesn't want. And people are making it such that he's got to settle for what he don't want. They don't even know what the cost is. They don't even know what the requirements are. They're not understanding it. I pray that we are. Let's continue. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes with 20,000? I'm going to war. Somebody's coming to war against me. What is he coming with? My army's 10,000 strong. Dang, he got twice my army. And he got chariots. I got foot soldiers. Them chariots that eat them up alive. Can I afford to go into this battle? What is this going to cost me? Could cost me my kingdom. And you not considering the cost could cost you the kingdom of the Most High entering into it. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador, an ambassador, and desires condition of peace. Hey, what do I need to be at peace with you? Why are you marching at me? What did I do to offend you? How do I get, you know, how do we make this to where we can be allies? Because I don't want to get stomped in the ground. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has He cannot be my disciple. He tells us plainly, you're not willing to give up your all? You don't make this the first thing in your life? You'd rather count on your own works? Then your reward is here and now. Trust that and believe that. But when I resurrect everybody, and you got to believe that I'm going to resurrect everyone. That's why when we look at these doctrines, if you don't believe that, then what are you doing this for anyway? You might as well take your work and enjoy your life this time around while you can, because this is your reward. You might as well enjoy it. The scriptures say that. You might as well enjoy it now. If you don't believe this, if it's not true, then everybody that truly believes it and throws themselves into it, he says that they are most miserable indeed because they'll believe a lie. But it's not a lie. And he says, you got to know it's not a lie. So now you got to consider the cost. Because the Most High is not taking anything less than. Can you hear this? Can you see it? Can you understand it? And if you can, are you willing to do it? Now, those are the foundations. Those are the mentality you have to have. Got to want it with your whole heart. Got to seek it first. Can nobody be more important in your life than the Most High? Not even you. Got to treasure it that is worth your all. This is what it's going to take to be his disciple. He says, and if you don't are not willing, if you don't forsake your all, you cannot be his disciple. Those are not Brother Miles' words. The Most High just allowed Brother Miles to see it and to understand it and to convey it to you. We don't want to play with this thing. I want to get into the kingdom. I want eternal life, living with the Most High in paradise. That's what I want for myself. I can't want it for you. I have to want it for me. You have to want it for you. You can't want it for your children. You can't want it for your spouse. You can't want it for anybody else. That's why he says, save yourself. It may not be given to them to even see it or understand it, no matter how much you try to show them. But it's your job to show them. And if the Most High allows them to see it, hallelujah. If he don't allow them to see it, you can't make them see it. So I'm not trying to shove this down anyone's throat. I'm not trying to force feed anyone. Because the Most High had to, he had to deal with me on that. You can't make them see what I don't want them to see. And it's him doing it. He gives the understanding. He gives the ability to understand, to hear it, to see it, and to understand it. Not Brother Miles. It's not how I teach or what I say or how I present. I can teach it and present it numerous ways. If he don't want you to see it, you're not going to see it. It's just that simple. So let's get into this precept. And let me find my place where I left off at last night. Okay. Let us read our reference verse so that we understand, because as I said, when I first read this, and I read this for some years now, and it always puzzled me that the Most High never gave me the understanding of it the way he has. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. How do you leave, you know, it always bothered me. How do you leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ and go on to perfection? Something just didn't click there with me. I was like, what? What are you saying? But the truth of the matter is, not laying again these foundations, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Shouldn't have to keep relaying that foundation in your life. Shouldn't have to be saying, oh, I need to repent. I need to repent. Oh, I need to get better. I need to repent. Once you understand what it is, you do it and just stay that way. Can't be letting sin rule over you, saying that you got to always repent. Man, I did it again. Says no, that foundation, once it's laid, it should not have to be laid again. And you yourself as a disciple should not have to be retaught, should not have to be reminded. In this thing, not having to lay the foundation again of faith toward Elohim, because you know sometimes, and I think I've been this way at certain times in my life, where you are walking and you know it just don't seem like. Especially in teaching that people are ever going to get things, that people are ever going to believe. And did the Most High only show you? And it made me question what I believe. It made me question what I have been shown. He said, but it was affecting my faith. Don't have to worry about that. Trust me, today. Don't have to tell me to have faith in Elohim and in everything that he's doing and that he's going to reward them that diligently seek him, diligently with their whole heart, diligently giving up everything, understanding that the reward is greater than whatever they can give up, whatever I could give up, diligently. Of the doctrines of baptism. How do you enter into the kingdom? How did the Most High redeem you? Shouldn't have to be retaught that. Should be able to go on from those things. Read what it says, hear it, understand it, do it, and then keep it moving. Go on into perfection. In the kingdom, work on becoming a better citizen of the kingdom, a better disciple of Mashiach, of Christ, or the laying on of hands. And like I said, this one right here, the Most High had to work with me and deal with me on this. Because, yeah, I know when I received the Ruach HaKodesh, when I received the Holy Ghost, somebody was laying hands on me as they were praying for me to receive. And so we're going to read the scriptures concerning these things because we have to know. It should build up our faith and it should stabilize us, that we can grow from it, that we can teach others, that we would lay hands on people because we will have done what we're supposed to do. And of the resurrection of the dead. If you don't believe that the Most High is going to resurrect you, if you believe this is all that there is and there is no more, then you should have all the fun you can now. Because the scriptures tell you that everything that the world says is fun, fornicating and partying and being riotous and, you know, just being gluttonous, doing everything that pleases the flesh. He says you ought to do that. If you don't believe this, that's what you ought to do, and enjoy yourself while you're doing it. Because in your eyes and in your mind, there is no resurrection. The Most High is not going to raise you up. You're not going to be judged. You're your own God. But if you truly believe that Elohim exists, that the Most High exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that he's going to do everything that he says he's going to do, then you know you can't live that type of life. It's not because we're so good, because truly, we would let this flesh rule us. We would be no better than the animals. But the truth of the matter is, we feel like, hey, there's got to be something better if this is all there is. And I see, you know, the failure and the wickedness and the debauchery, the evilness, when we are left to our own devices. If we were left to our own devices, most men would rape most women. Just take what they want, like a caveman. Grab her by the hair, drag her into the cave, and that was it. Whether she wanted it or not, because she physically was just not stronger than him. And when we go back into the scriptures, the Most High said he destroyed the first world. Why? Because man's thoughts were continually evil. I didn't give them the statutes, laws, and commandments. I left them on their own to see what goodness was in them. And he says, and there was none. They defiled themselves with, man defiled themselves with women. Man defiled themselves with animals. Man defiles themselves with each other. Whatever they could imagine, they were doing it. He says, so their thoughts were evil continually. So when we're left to our own devices, we're left to this flesh, and we're left to the carnal mind, whatever we are physically able to take and to do, that's what we will do. That is proven out through history. Even when it comes down to we're a nation of people, we want what you have. You can either defend yourself and keep it, or you can't. If we figure we need it and we got a strong enough army, we're coming to take it. That's man's nature, and it still is his nature today. That's what wars are all about. And a lot of wars are over resources on the planet. We need oil. You got oil. You're selling it too high. We can't afford that. We'll just come and take it. Or we'll find another supplier. We need food. Whatever it is, man's nature is to take it. If you can't get it by any other means, I'm big and bad enough to come take it from you. Or if I'm not big and bad enough to come take it from you, let me ally with somebody else. Let me make some friends somewhere else. They got the same problem I got, and we'll come take it from you. So you got to understand that's man's nature. And that's the way he will always be. Man thinks that man is the answer for man. Those people that don't believe in the Most High, don't believe in the resurrection, don't believe that what the Most High is saying in this book, They really truly believe that man is the answer for man. We'll learn to treat each other better. We'll learn to be more civilized. When the only thing we do is group up with people that have like desires and say, who can we get this from? Whether we got to use race or we got to use the class system. We got the rich against the poor. Whatever we got to do to justify, that's what we're going to do. That's what we have done. And the Most High says, my kingdom is not that way. Okay. So if you don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, then you ought to get with the world and do what the world says and get what's going to make you happy and do it with your whole heart. And if you don't believe in eternal judgment, because see, when people don't fear the Most High, they don't really fear eternal judgment. They'll even justify. They'll read the scripture that says you're going to burn forever. Oh, forever only means until you die. But they never read the word of the Most High to find out, wait a minute, he resurrected all the dead. And he threw death, hell, and the grave into the lake of fire. That system no longer exists. Now everything and everyone is what? Eternal. Going to live forever, good, bad, or indifferent. I just threw away death. Don't have the power to come and arrest nothing anymore. I threw away the jail, hell, and the grave. I threw that system away. So ain't nothing going to die no more. Now, let me look in the books and let me judge you. Let me look and see if I find your name in my book of life. And let me judge you on your works. If your name ain't even in the book of life, you're going straight to the lake. If your name is in the book of life, then let me see what your reward's going to be. Let me put your works in the fire. See what you did for me and let me see what you did for you. That's your reward. Whatever's left, whatever don't burn up, that's your reward. Now go ahead and enter in and be happy with your reward. That's what you earned. That's what you were willing to put into it. You know, if we just get into the kingdom, hey, I am happy to just get in. But he's saying, hey, run the race trying to come in first place. So I ain't trying to come in second. I'm not. Because he told me what mentality we have to have. Okay? So if you don't believe in eternal judgment, then you're not going to fear the Most High. You're not going to fear that he actually is going to put everybody that is disobedient, that is a reject, into the lake of fire. You're not going to believe that he's going to give everybody eternal life, good and bad, and then the bad he's going to throw into a fire that's designed to burn and to torment spiritual beings, because now you are a spiritual being. You can't die. Don't have to give you no water. Don't have to give you no food. Don't even have to give you air. You don't require any of those things. That's only for mortal beings. You can live in this environment, or you can go in outer space, where you can't go right now. When I make you eternal, you can go in outer space in your natural body, and it will not affect you. In your spiritual body. That will be your natural body at that time. Spiritual. But you can go in outer space in that body and what will kill you now will not kill you then. Different. So I'm going to give you eternal life and then I'm going to throw you in the lake. Into this fire. for eternity. People don't believe that. Nah, God wouldn't do that. The Most High wouldn't do that. He's too loving and kind and merciful. He would not do that. And if he would do that, I can't serve him. Well, that's your choice. I believe what he says. I believe he's able to protect his own word and has protected it. And he will reveal to you. He will reveal it. So if you don't believe in that, I already know. He's already shown me, and we've talked about this for months now. The lack of the fear of him is what is wrong with this world. And the lack of the fear of him is what allows people to do whatever they think is right. Because they really don't fear him. He's not really going to do what he said he's going to do. He's all merciful. He's all kind. He's all forgiving. You will not find that anywhere in the scriptures. Nowhere. In no book. Canonized or apocrypha. You will not find that in any book. That he is all loving. That he is all forgiving. That he is all merciful. You find the contrary. I love them that love me, and I have mercy on them that love me. And keep my commandments and do what I say do. Everybody else, you in trouble. Everybody else, you don't belong to me. You are not mine. When he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they obey. If you're not obeying him, you're not his. His words. It's not an interpretation. So we got to understand that. All right. So if you don't believe in those things, those are his doctrines, and you have to understand his doctrines in those subjects. You got to understand what he says. And once you understand it and you do it, then you go on to perfection. You don't have to keep staying there. You understand these things. They are what motivate you. They are what keep you. We talked about repentance from dead works on last night. And then last night we got into faith toward Elohim. Let us go to Matthew chapter 15. The book of Matthew chapter 15. The book of Matthew. Chapter 15, and we're going to get verse 28. Faith toward Elohim. Faith toward God. And let's actually start this one. Because this is a Gentile. Okay. And she has great faith. Start in verse 22. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 22, and we're going to read down through 28. So I want us to understand the story. We've read this before, and I'm sure you have read it before too. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Master, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we went over this the other night. You got to know that Messiah did not come to the Gentiles. He did not come to the world. His mission was to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here is this Canaanite woman whose daughter is vexed with an evil spirit. Messiah says, hey, I didn't come here to deal with you. I came here to deal with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord or Master, help me. Help me. She's desperate. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Again, I say that's rough. That's not being all merciful and all kind. I'm not here to save everybody. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm going to eventually give this gift to the world, but my priesthood and my nation that I selected, that I caused to come into being, is in trouble. I got to start with the priesthood first. So it says, you don't take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. I mean, that's a rough way of saying this is not for you. And he said, and she said, truth, Master, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I need to be blessed. I want this thing more than anything. I need to have my child fixed. I see that you're doing it. Whatever I got to become, if I got to be a dog, I'll be a dog if I can get this blessing. Then Yeshua answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt or as you wish. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour because she was persistent. She wanted this thing bad and she believed, she knew he could do it. And I believe in her mind, she said, I'm not leaving here. It's like when the Most High filled me with the Ruach HaKodesh, when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I told my wife, hey, I'm not coming from this altar. Here, take the car keys. You and the kids, if you have to, leave. I'll find a ride home. But I'm not leaving this altar until the Most High fills me with his spirit. It's the same mentality she's got. I'm not leaving here without a blessing. I'm not leaving here without what I came for. My daughter needs to be healed, and you can do it, and I believe and know you can. It's the kind of faith he's looking for. You got to want it with your all. Can't come with a halfway request. Well, if you feel like doing it, Most High. Most High, I need a blessing. And I need it. And whatever I got to do. That's what he's looking for. You to have that type of determination. That kind of faith in him that you know he is able to do it. So this Canaanite woman, and he just refers to her as a dog. You know, most people, if you offend them, they leave. Start cussing you out. Who the hell you think you are? Yada, 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 yada. You know how we get. We become indignant. You have offended me. I don't care if I'm asking you for something or not. I don't need your help. You know how we get. But she was like, uh-uh. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. I need this. I want this. It's mentality. I'm not here for you. I'm not here for your people. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I came to save. That's who I came to offer the kingdom to first. So we got to understand. That's rough. That's being austere. He wasn't kind and gentle. See the man. See the Most High. See his mentality and understand. Stop believing all this stuff that everybody is telling you, that the Messiah and the Elohim that they're selling you. He tells us in Luke, I am an austere man, and you knew I was austere. I'm a rough man. I don't play. So if you got faith in me and you believe that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, understand I'm going to do exactly what I told you I'm going to do. Believe that. That should be what your faith is. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. And what he said he's going to do for all those who are obedient, who seek me with their whole life, with their whole heart, who give up everything for me, I will reward you richly. And all those who want to hold back, he said, you have your reward. And what I, and the promises that I made, they don't apply to you. Because people don't want to hear that. They want to qualify and have everything apply to them. No matter what. No matter what they do, no matter how many times they fall, no matter how they seek him, or lack thereof, the mentality that they come with. This is what the world is teaching. The Most High is saying, hey, You can't be my disciple. Get away from me. And I now realize who he's talking to. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. You claim you know me, but indeed, you deny me. In your works, you deny me. In the way that you seek me, you deny me. Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we say that? Get away from me. And he ain't going to be nice about it. Get away from me. Come get him and kill him. Because, yeah, this one was disobedient. He says that in the scriptures. All those that would not have me to rule over them, bring them here and kill them before me, in front of me. I want to see them die. That's a rough man. That ain't this loving and kind and all-merciful Savior and God. I loved you enough that I laid down my life for you. Now you're going to treat me like dirt? Think you're going to get away with it? You're not. Faith in Elohim. Believe what he says that he's going to do. Matthew chapter 17. The book of Matthew chapter 17. Faith toward Elohim. This doctrine, because he's saying, hey, I came for these people. This woman wanted and had so much faith, even though I didn't come here for her. Because of her faith, I did what she asked of me. And even though I insulted her, she still knew what she needed. And she knew who I was. And she persisted. Matthew 17 and 20. This is talking about his disciples. This is a man. Let's go back up and get this story. Starting verse 14, Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. Reference verse is verse 20. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. So, you know, this man, he's saying, hey, My son has a problem. You've been healing all these people with unclean spirits. My son is vexed with an unclean spirit. We call him a lunatic. He fall down in the fire, burn himself, fall down in the water. Somebody got to jump in and get him because he can't swim. He's drowning. It's like something trying to drown him. And I brought him to your disciples, and they weren't able to do a daggone thing for him. Then Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Yeshua, apart, away from everybody else, and said, why could we not cast him out? And Yeshua said, because of your unbelief, because of your faith, because your faith has to do with your belief. Anything that you believe in, if you totally believe it, you have total faith in it. Understand that. Because of your unbelief, you didn't really believe you could cast out this devil. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is very small, it's hard to see in your hand, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder, go over there, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not, but by prayer and fasting. That means you got to be living the life. You can't come up against certain devils, certain unclean spirits, and not have strengthened your inner man, strengthen yourself in the spirit, denying your flesh, going before the Most High in prayer. A lot of people out there that want to be prayer warriors, and they want to be, you know, fight spiritual warfare, and they themselves, as soon as they become exposed to these unclean spirits, get infected themselves. Let me find something. And we're gonna stop here for this morning. And this evening we won't go back over the fundamentals. This evening we will go straight through the scriptures on this. So that we can actually finish this up. Because I found so much on this, from this one verse, I found so much on it, I was actually overwhelmed. It's like, wow. Let me find this verse. What are these sons' names? I think it's Zebedee. I want to show us the difference. Sons of Zebedee. Let me see if it's in this, if this is the right chapter, Matthew chapter 10. No, that's not them. Hold on. My bad. I should have had this already, but it just came to me. Yeah, the sons of Sceva. All right, sons of Sceva. And Let me find this verse, but their name is Sceva. Just a second. I hate dead space. Okay, why is that not finding them? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 19. The book of Acts chapter 19. And we're going to read this because I want us to understand this has to do with your faith. And a lot of people, you know, trying to do spiritual warfare, they themselves in need of somebody laying hands on them. They call themselves doing spiritual warfare and find out that they get infected themselves. Let's start in verse 1. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1, so we understand the story. And then we understand how this works with our faith. Okay? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. You should underline certain disciples. Who are these disciples? And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received? When we read in Acts, the book of Acts, we find out that not everybody received the Holy Ghost when they got baptized. Okay, and some people had to tarry. The apostles had to go tarry, had to go wait for the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Some people received it right away when they got baptized. Some people received it before they got baptized. There's no set order because the Most High is looking at the heart. But you got to do all these things. So he's asking these disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. John baptized unto repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why you have to be baptized in his name. Being baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is to repeat the titles. But you got to use the name. Can't use the titles. You got to use the name. Got to be baptized in his name. Neither is there any other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Not other titles. Okay, so you got to know that they were rebaptized. They had been baptized unto repentance. Now they had to get rebaptized what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them when he laid hands on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. This was the proof that the Holy Spirit had actually come upon them. Because you can't see the Holy Spirit. So you have to see the acts of the Holy Spirit. He says, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe. I'm a believer. I don't know, and the Spirit of the Most High is not testifying to me that he's in you. Tongues are the sign that is given. And all the men were about 12. That's not this lesson, though. Let's continue. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months in disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom. But when divers were hardened, different peoples were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that which before the multitude, he departed from them. So some people didn't agree with what he was saying. They came against him. Hardened the people's hearts to his message that he was giving. So he left and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And Elohim wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Elohim worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews. Now, vagabond means these are Jews that travel around. They're like gypsies, okay? And they're performing exorcists, casting out or trying to cast out evil spirits, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, saying, we adjure you, we command you by Yeshua whom Paul preached. And then there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You thinking you come in here and by with no authority, with no power, and you're going to cast us out? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. They got their butts kicked so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That was a behind whipping, tearing the clothes off of people. They didn't just get their behinds whipped. They got their clothes torn off of them. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Because Paul was able to kick these demons out. Messiah was able to kick these demons out. The rest of the apostles are able to kick these demons out. But here comes somebody that wants to invoke the name of Messiah to kick this demon out. And the demon said, I don't know you. I don't see the spirit of the Most High in you. Who are you? Because it ain't Paul that was kicking out the demons. It ain't any of the apostles themselves that were kicking out the demons. It is the spirit of the Most High within them. Remember we read last night. You are the temple. You are the vessel that the Most High wants to reside in. When these demons are being kicked out, it's not you kicking them out. It's the spirit of the Most High within you that they fear. The Holy Ghost was not in these sons of Sceva. And the demon looked at him and said, who are you? What do you think you're doing? Come and take this butt whipping. When I'm through with you, You gonna know. And we got people doing this stuff today. And trust me, if you don't have power and you start praying for people and you lay hands on people and you don't have the power of the Most High, if they do have a demon or an unclean spirit in them, it will transfer to you. And you'll be wondering why you're doing certain things and why you're saying certain things. And why, you know, your mentality suddenly changed. Because you're going doing these things without power, without the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. They believed that they could use the name. They had the faith to use the name, but they didn't have the authority to use the name. So it's very critical that we get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. That we have faith that the Most High, when the Most High says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, that we seek after that. These things go hand in hand. You read it, you believe it. You do what he says to do. And it will happen to you. But you have to want it. You really have to want it to happen. My testimony, and we'll pray out. Coming down the stairs to my house, had been in the church, was a deacon in the church, a deacon. At church, more than I was not at church, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, one reason or another, was not filled with the Ruach of the Most High. And I wanted to be filled, but I also wanted to keep doing some of the things I was doing. Didn't want it with my whole heart. Didn't want the Most High with my whole heart. And I was coming down the stairs and I heard this voice say, and I heard this voice. And I don't care what people say. They can say whatever they want to say. This is my testimony, believe it or not. I heard this voice say, I will not forever call you. And I knew the voice. The voice had talked to me many nights. Come to me in dreams. I will not forever call you. And at that time, I addressed him as Lord. And I said, yes, Lord. I knew who it was. And I knew that he was telling me, I'm about to stamp you as reprobate and as a reject. And I'm about to depart from you. And once I depart, I ain't coming back. I'm about to treat you like Saul. I'm going to leave you and forsake you. The Most High doesn't ever leave or forsake his own, those that belong to him. But if you are disobedient, he will forsake you. Believe that. That's in the scriptures. You are not mine. You are not obedient. I heard that. My whole life changed. My whole life changed. It became all about being filled with his Ruach. It was all about serving him. All about receiving the Holy Spirit. Nothing was more important. Not wife, not children, not business. Not anything. And when I went down to that line and told my wife, I said, hey, you and the kids can leave. I'm not coming from this line until the Most High fills me with his Spirit. And because I came with the right attitude, it took all of 2 minutes, if that long. Haven't been the same since. Have not been the same since. It does change you. Believe me. It does. That experience changes you. And you know that you know that you know. So I want to encourage each and every person that can hear my voice. Don't take a chance on your eternity. Don't leave it to chance. Do what the Most High says. Have faith in him and do what he says to do. Seek him with your whole heart. Believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Consider yourself like the disciples of John. They were taught to repent. But they were really never taught to receive the Holy Ghost. We ain't even so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. If you were never taught that you were supposed to receive, and it is not something automatic, when they got baptized, it didn't say that the Holy Spirit automatically entered into them. That John had to do what? Paul had to do what? Lay hands on them. Then they received the Holy Spirit. One of the doctrines of Christ, the laying on of hands. So I want to encourage you to pursue this. make sure of your salvation. Don't be saying that you're a disciple and not be willing to do and experience what he has said that you should do and experience. So that you know. Because trust me, it'll change your walk. It will change everything about you. It'll give you the strength and the power to, and even the understanding to walk in his ways. It'll give you that understanding. And it'll give you the power to do it. It'll put you in the place that you can hear and understand. It'll give you the will to pay the price. It'll give you the will to pay the price. Know this and believe. We don't want to come up short. You don't want to run the race only to find out, number one, you was in the wrong race. They had you in the 4x4 and you were running the 800. Dude, you didn't even qualify for that race. Nothing you did mattered. Oh, you broke a world record? Don't count. Hear what the Spirit has to say. You want to be my disciple? You got to give me your all. You got to seek me with your whole heart. I got to be first in your life, period, bar everything. I got to be first. You have to be willing to give up everything for the work that I have for you to do. Can't be trying to hold on to what you have acquired and then say you're serving me too. Cannot be my disciple. Those are not Brother Miles's words. We read that straight from the scripture. Straight out of the mouth of Messiah. Love anybody and anything more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. So everyone should count the cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Can you even understand what Brother Miles is saying? Has the scriptures painted the price in your mind and in your heart? This is what it's going to take. Don't worry about everything that you've ever been taught, because I know nobody's ever told you this. Nobody ever told me. Are you willing to pay the price? Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you on this afternoon. Father, we want to be disciples of Mashiach, of Christ. You have told us what's required, what you require. We understand that it is mandatory. It is not optional. Father, we understand that we can't serve you any other way other than how you have said to serve you. We can't place any other value on you other than what you said have said, that this is the value that we should have of you, that you should be the most precious thing, the most valuable thing, person in our life, that you have to be more important than mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, child, even our own selves. You have to be more valuable in our lives than our own life. Father, that we should desire you with our whole heart. And that to obtain your kingdom, that we would give up everything to obtain your kingdom. This is what you say that it takes. Father, for all these years, we have felt that we have followed you and that we have worshiped you in spirit and in truth, only to find out that we were not. Perhaps it was not given to us to understand at that time. Perhaps we still had scales on our eyes and we just wanted to belong to something. Perhaps our parents just told us that this is what we ought to do, and we became a member of an organization. We were born into it, or we joined because we didn't like what we saw in the world, and this is what they taught me. But Father, you have said that it was not given to the masses to understand. It was not given to the masses to hear the true gospel of the kingdom. And Father, we thank you for giving it to us. Help each and every one of us. If we have not arrived at this level, convict us in our hearts that we would seek you with our whole heart, that we would value you above everything else, and that from this day forward, we will serve you with our whole heart and we will obey your voice. We will show you that we love you by obeying your commandments. For you have already said to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Father, so we want to worship you not only with our lips, but we want to worship you indeed. We want to worship you with our all, everything that we do, Father. Help us. It is you that gives us power. Even you that reveals yourself to us. Accept us, Father. Accept us as your children. Accept us as your disciples. Help us to grow and to become like Yeshua HaMashiach in all things. For Father, we want to make it into your kingdom and we want to be your children. And we don't want to fall short. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Remember, as we read in Acts chapter 19, it's by his spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Most High. It is the Most High himself. It is he. I don't like to even say it, and I keep saying that, and every time I say it, it just grieves me. The Holy Spirit is the Most High himself. The Most High is holy, and he is a spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. That's why you cannot blaspheme him. You can blaspheme the works, but if you talk about him directly, in an evil way, if you disobey, you can blaspheme his word. You can be forgiven for blaspheming his word. Cannot blaspheme him. But it's by his spirit that we do all these things, that we are able to do all these things, that we become his children, that we enter into his kingdom, that we get our citizenship. And if you have not received the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. Let me say that again. because this is critical. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. You can claim whatever you want out of your mouth, but you're none of His. You have to submit yourself. You have to turn yourself over 100% and give yourself to Him.
Yeah. we do.
Breathe on us. We need your Holy Spirit. We need the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On this evening, we will continue in discipleship, principles of the doctrines of Christ, that we are should be foundational to us, that we should walk in, and that we should move from there on to perfection. We will continue in this precept. Tomorrow morning, for spiritual wellness, we will continue in Black history according to the Bible. We will continue in that study, and so we pray that you all join us for that. We are dealing with this from a biblical perspective and looking at the history and also how it affects us even today. As this is, this book, this Bible is our history, and we have to know and understand and believe that. That our history didn't start with slavery, and it didn't start with our exodus from the continent of Africa. No matter what nation we are in, that our we are from the continent of Africa. It's just not that portion of Africa that we were taken from. That is where we were exiled from Israel into southern Africa, into the central parts of Africa. From there we left and went into all the nations of the world. Through the transatlantic slave trade, we ended up in all the nations of the world. So we have to understand that and know who we are as a people. It's not something that we brag about, because the Most High doesn't like bragging. He doesn't like us to become puffed up. We the people of the book. But the Most High is judging us by how we serve him. Doesn't matter if you are his people of the blood, if you are disobedient, you are not his. So we have to understand it. But we want to understand the perspective that our history didn't start with slavery. Slavery is a condition of our disobedience to the Most High. Know and understand that, and we can prove it in the scriptures. So we love you. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Happy Sabbath, family, and shalom.
Which 12